الحمد لله. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء اتقوا الله الذي تسألون به والأرحام إن الله عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا قولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. This is another lesson I will be reading from the Shaykh al-Jadid, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. And last week we mentioned the proof for a salat and a zakat and tafsir tawheed. It's important that we remind ourselves that the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, is mentioning these affairs which are known by the believers after mentioning the affairs, and the author is mentioning the affairs of ibadat which are known by the believer after mentioning the affair of ibadat that many are negligent of, with regards to it being from ibadah. And we mentioned previously that the Muslims are aware that salat, is ibadah. The Muslims are aware that zakat is ibadah. They're aware that hajj and the likes is ibadah. That those ibadat that the author mentioned previously, the Muslims, many Muslims are negligent of the fact that they are ibadah. From oaths, from an istighatha, from seeking help from Allah Azza wa Jal in the matters that only Allah can assist an individual with, and ar-raja wal khawf, in the heart, you know, the hope of the heart, the sincere deep hope, and tawakkul, putting your trust in Allah. All of these ibadat al-qalbiyyah, many, which indeed these ibadat al-qalbiyyah, they become apparent on the limbs. But these ibadat al-qalbiyyah, many of the Muslims are negligent of the fact that they are only for Allah Azza wa Jal, and because of that, and hence you find them turning toward other than Allah with tawakkul, putting their trust with raja, with hope, with khawf, with fear. You find them putting, directing these forms of worship to other than Allah because of their negligence and their ignorance when it came to the fact that these are forms of ibadah. And this the Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned in Al-Qawa'id al-Arba, that salat la tasihhu illa ma'a al-qada, that salat is not illa ma'a al-qada, except that purification and ablution is present, just as ibadah. Similarly is ibadah. It is not accepted except that it is based on tawheed. So the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, in al-usul al-thalath, he brought those different forms of ibadat wa anwa' al-ibadat allati amara Allah biha, and the different forms of ibadah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated and ordered, and then he mentioned those forms of ibadah. And we finished that, and now the author is mentioning other forms of ibadah. We've reached to the point where the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, is mentioning the belil siyam, the proof for siyam. Ya ayyuhan, and notice he's saying the proof of siyam, but he's already mentioned the proof for those other forms of ibadah. When we said, and the different forms of ibadah that Allah has ordered, he mentioned a proof for every single one. والدليل الخوف والدليل التوكل والدليل الاستغاثة والدليل الاستعانة. He mentioned a proof for everything. So لله الحمد, everything that the author mentioned رحمه الله تعالى is from Quran and from Sunnah. It is not from himself. It is not from himself. And that is the منهج of the طالب العلم, خاصة الذي يريد أن يبين ويوضح الأمور للناس. That is the manhaj and the methodology of a student of knowledge, especially the one who wants to clarify the affairs to the people. In clarification of the affairs to the people, you have to come. You have to come with the adilla from the Quran and the adilla from the Sunnah. Because by doing so, you leave no room for argumentation. You leave no room for argumentation. And that is what is witnessed by the author, rahimahullah ta'ala. And that's because of that, you have the statement of the ulama, man hafiz al-Qur'an, hafiz hujjatuhu. They mentioned some of the salaf, they said the person who memorizes the Qur'an, his hujjah, his establishment of the proof becomes strong. Whoever memorizes the Qur'an, then a taba'an, of course, with fahm, with understanding, with fiqh, whoever understands, whoever memorizes the Quran and understands it, has fiqh, fahm, understanding and comprehension of the Quran, his hujjah, his establishment of the proofs becomes aqwa, becomes stronger. Why? Because it leaves no room for argumentation, except with the people of bid'ah. The people of ta'weez, the people of ta'atil, the people of ta'rif, they're going to change, they're going to distort, they're going to deny, you know. So with those individuals, ashab al-ahwa, even the Quran, they consider it as not a hujjah because they're going to distort it, they're going to change it. And the like, but with awam al-nas, those who haven't been polluted, those who have not been polluted with the aqwal of the Jahmiyyah and the aqwal of the Mu'tazila and the aqwal of the Murji'ah and the aqwal of the Qadariyyah and the aqwal of the Rafidah, those individuals who are general awam al-nas, the hujjah from the Quran and the Sunnah, it suffices them. If they haven't been polluted with these different methodologies which are in opposition to the pure, the Quran and the pure Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The author mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَالدِّلِيلُ السِّيَامُ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Hold on one second. So the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions the dalil for the siyam. The siyam, Shaykh Saleh Fawzan, hafizahullah ta'ala, mentioned, as-siyam la yajidu illa ala al-muslimin. Yani, siyam is only obligatory upon the Muslims. Because, he's taking that, hafizahullah ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ya ayyuha al-ladhina aminu. All you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you. It has been made obligatory upon you. Obligatory upon the Muslims. أما الكفار لو فعلوه أصح منهم حتى يشهدوا أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله. As for the disbelievers, if they were to perform the fasting, it would not be accepted from them until they bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the slave of Allah. Now, that is basically informing us of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Mu'adh bin Jabal, and in many other hadiths as well, but this is one which is common, the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Mu'adh bin Jabal to Yemen, and said, إِنَّكَ تَأْتِي قَوْضًا مِنْ أَحْلِ الْكِتَابِ. Verily, you are approaching a people from the people of the book, Jews and Christians. فَلْيَكُنْ أَوْلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ. So let the first thing that you call them to is شَهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ لِلَّهِ, that they declare witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave, is the messenger of Allah. If they believe you, if they agree, if they abide by that, then inform them about the salat. If they abide by that, then inform them about the zakat. If they abide by that, then inform them about the fasting. So, if a disbeliever doesn't come into the fold of Islam, then it makes sense for that individual to fast. It makes no sense for that individual to fast, and it is not accepted from him while he's in a state of disbelief. It is not accepted from him while he's in a state of disbelief. And that's why that is taken from the statement of Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah, the 100th verse, Ya ayyuhal ladheena aminu, all you who believe. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is speaking to the believers. Unlike, earlier in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah Ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal nas, u'budu rabbakum, all mankind, worship your Lord. O mankind, worship your Lord. So Allah Ta'ala is first calling mankind to belief in Allah alone, without any partners. Then after they come into the fold of Islam, and after they believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the other pillars of Islam become obligatory, such as the Salah, such as the Siyam, such as the Zakat, and such as the Hajj. But there is a matala, and that is, if a disbeliever performed righteous deeds, this is just a matala, if a disbeliever has performed righteous deeds, and what we mean by righteous deeds, we don't mean righteous deeds in a sense that they're accepted by Allah. No, righteous deeds meaning good deeds. Good deeds. If a person has performed good deeds before entering into Islam, and then they come into Islam, do they get rewarded for those good deeds that they did before them? There's proof to say, and I can't recall the exact hadith, but there's proof to say that, yes, there's authentic proof to say that affirms that if a person has done good deeds before entering into Islam, and then they enter into Islam, Allah gives them those good deeds. Allah gives them those good deeds. Naam. And this is important to any, the fact that Allah is addressing the believers, and not the disbelievers, because unfortunately we have us, some of us when we give da'wah, some of the Muslims when we give da'wah, we don't know the correct manner in giving da'wah, and we might work with a disbeliever, and we say to that disbeliever, Ramadan is coming, I'm going to be fasting. You know, some of us out of genuine want for good for the disbeliever, they say, well, what, you know, we say to them, at times we find, why don't you fast too, you know, try, you know, it's something that the Muslims do, why don't you try fasting a day? And the disbeliever might say, well, you know, it sounds good, but that's not da'wah. That's not da'wah, that's not accepted from the individual, yani, what's accepted from the individual, and what da'wah is that you call them tawheed. What's accepted, and what is da'wah is that you call them tawheed, not that you say, well, you know, we fast, why don't you fast, or, you know, the Muslims pray 5 times a day, I'm going to the masjid, why don't you come and pray with me? That's not what we call them to. We call them to the belief in Allah Azza wa Jal. We call them to the fact that there's no deity worthy of worship except Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's what we focus on. And that is our focal point, not the salat, not the zakat, not any of those things. Our focal point is the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. وانفضاص الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من كتب كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم. Just as it has been made obligatory upon those who came before you. So this, in this regard, the ulama, rahimahullah ta'ala, the ulama of the past and the ulama of the present, they say, this shows you that fasting was made obligatory on the previous nations. It was made obligatory on the previous nations, so it is not from the khasa'is. It is not for that which is particular for the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Allah had legislated this before. Allah had legislated this before, and you find, even in Jahiliyyah, the days prior to Islam, prior to the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fasting was something known. And the mushrikun and the Jews used to fast Yom Ashura. The Jews, they used to fast the day of Ashura. They used to fast the day of Ashura. So this is something which is not particular for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are things which are particular for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, جُعِلَتْ لِي الْأَرْضِ صُهُورًا وَمَسْجِدًا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily the land has been made pure for me and as a masjid. So, you know, فَأَيُّمَا رَجُلٌ لِأُمَّةِ أَدْرَكَتْهُ الصَّلَاةِ فَلَهُ طَهَارَتُهُ وَلَهُ صَلَاتُهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So any man from amongst my ummah, if salat comes upon him, if the prayer time comes upon him, he has his purification and he has his place to pray. He has his purification and he has his place to pray. If I'm out in the desert, if we're in the desert or anywhere, barren land, and it's time to pray, if we have the water, we make purification and we pray. If we don't have the water, we make tiyammum and we pray. This is from the khasa'is of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also he says, وَكَانَ النَّبِيُّ يُبْعَثُ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ وَبْعِثْتُ إِلَىٰ النَّاسِ كَافَةً. Another thing which is particular for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his ummah, every prophet was sent specifically to his people. Every prophet was sent specifically to his people. Where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to ila nasi kafatan. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to all of mankind. With regards to the hikmah, the wisdom behind fasting, toward the end of the verse, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may establish taqwa. And this is important for us to know that when it comes to the hikmah, when it comes to the wisdom behind legislation of the actions and the obligations, at times our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us of why he obliged a particular action upon us, or why he forbade a particular action from us, and at times he does not inform us. What is our position with regard to that which he has informed us, and with regard to that which he hasn't informed us? Our position is, لا يسألوا عما يفعل وهم يسألون. Allah is not questioned about that which he does, and we will be questioned. That is our position. Our position is, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, we hear and we obey. You know, so the way of the believer, إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا فَآمَنَّا, we have heard a caller call to faith, so we believe. We have heard a caller call to faith, so we believe. So the way of the believer is, we don't ask about the hikmah. We ask, has it been made obligatory? Has it been made obligatory? Is it something forbidden? Is it something forbidden? We abstain from it. Is it something ordered? We perform it. As for the hikmah, we don't find the companion the best. As Allah Ta'ala mentioned, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقُ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah Ta'ala mentioned, whoever goes against the Prophet after the proofs have been revealed and follows a way other than the path of the believers. The believers during the time of the revelation were the companions. So we follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. Do we find in the authentic Sunnah and the narration from the companions that when an order was revealed, the companions would immediately ask, why? Why is this obligatory? Why is that forbidden? We don't find that. So our way is that we follow that which they were upon. We don't ask the hikmah. If Allah informs us, وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ بِهِ وَالنِّعْمَةِ فَبِهَا وَالنِّعْمَةِ حِكْمَةِ. If Allah informs us, we wonderful. But if Allah Azza wa Jalla does not inform us, and because of that, you have some of the ulama that say Allah at times, Allah Azza wa Jalla has forbidden something to test His servants. To test His servants. So the reality is we hear and we obey. That which Allah has ordered us, it is for our benefit. As we're going to read from the speech of Shibuddin Habibullah Ta'ala, and that which Allah has forbade us, it is likewise for our benefit. Naam. Shaykh Sa'ad al-Fuqan Habibullah Ta'ala mentioned, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ هَذَا بَيَانٌ لِلْحِكْمَةِ مِنْ السِّيَانِ. So that you may establish taqwa, this is clarification of the wisdom related to the fasting. فَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ is informing of why fasting was legislated. وَهُوَ أَنَّهُ يُصَبِّبَ التَّقْوَى. Fasting is legislated because it brings about and it establishes taqwa. And taqwa, as we know, ulama had mentioned taqwa, and تَجْعَلْ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ مَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ وَقَايَةً. Taqwa is that you place between yourself and that which Allah has forbade, you place a barrier. And some of the ulama, when they were mentioned about taqwa, or when they were questioned about taqwa, they said, have you ever, and this was from the time of the Salaf, even if I'm not mistaken, even from the time of the Sahaba, they said, have you ever tread or traversed a path that has thorns? And the questioner came and said, explain to me what is taqwa. And the questioner said, have you ever walked a path with bushes with thorns? And the person said, yes. And they said, well, how did you walk? And the individual said, I was very cautious. The questioner said, that is taqwa. That is taqwa, that you are very cautious not to fall into that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has forbade. So it's commonly translated as fear of Allah, but indeed, it's much more greater than only fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's greater than that. The individual in their statements, individuals in their actions, the individuals in their intentions, the individual is very cautious not to do or to say that which is displeasing to Allah, not to intend that which is displeasing to Allah, but out of fear of what? Out of fear of the punishment of Allah. Now, لِأَنَّ السِّيَامَ, he says, شِكْ صَلَفُ وَزَانَ حَدِيثُ وَغَاثَانَ, he says, لِأَنَّ السِّيَامَ يَتْرُكُ لِأَنَّ السِّيَامَ يَتْرُكُ بِهِ الْإِنسَانِ مَعْلُفَاتِهِ وَشَهَوَاتِهِ وَمَرْغُوبَاتِهِ تَقَرُّبًا إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. He says, because the person, by way of fasting, the individual abandons that which they're accustomed to, that which they desire and they want. They do so to seek nearness to Allah, the Magnificent and the High. فَيَقْصِدُهُ التَّقْوَى مَا أَنَّهُ يَقْصِدْ أَيْضًا. So this person, when they, what he said, the person's fasting, they're abandoning and they're abstaining from that which they're accustomed to. They're accustomed to eating. They're accustomed to looking at that which is not permissible. They're accustomed to having relations, and it's permissible to have relations with family, with your, wife and spouse and the like of that. But you abandon that for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You abandon that for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So you do it to get near to Allah. You do it to gain nearness to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So by doing so, you have conditioned yourself to stop something, to abandon something. For the sake of what? For the sake of your Lord. So this is something that brings about taqwa. Because the individual says, yes, if I left all of these things that were permissible, keep that in mind. If I left all of these things that were permissible, it's permissible for me to eat. It's permissible for me to drink. It's permissible for, spouse to have relations with spouse. All of those things are permissible. But I left that which is permissible for Allah. Can I not leave that which is not permissible for Allah? So this is the establishment of taqwa. He also breaks the desires that you have. The desires, the sharp desires that you have. لأن الشيطان يجري من ابن آدم مجرى الدم. Because verily, the shaitan, he runs throughout the body of the son of Adam, throughout the body, he runs like the flowing of the blood. فمع تناول الشهوات يتصمت الشيطان ومع ترك الشهوات يضعف مجرى الدم فيطرد الشيطان عن المسلم. He said, so the shaitan, we understand that the shaitan, he goes through the body like the flowing of the blood. So when the individual obtains their desires, their food, their drink, and the likes of that, the shaitan, he conquers the individual. But when the individual has abandoned and turned away from their desires, even the food, even the drink, I mean, that's something we desire. I don't mean impermissible desires. I mean food, drink, relations. When you turn away from those things, you are making your blood flow weak. You're making your blood flow weak. فَيَطْرُ الشَّيْطَانِ So the shaitan leaves the Muslim. Because, and if the Prophet ﷺ, said to his companions that saw him walking with his wife, and they began to run quickly, while the Prophet ﷺ was on the Atitab, and his wife Sophia was visiting him. And the companions saw him walking with her, and they began to run or walk quickly. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَعْبَسْمِكُمْ فَإِنَّهَا Sophia. The Prophet ﷺ said, take it easy, that's my wife, that's Sophia. And the individual said, Ya Rasulullah, we would never think, you know, bad of you. We would never think that you would, you know, perform an indecent action. The Prophet said, Naam, but the shaitan runs throughout the body like the flowing of the blood. Like the flowing of the, so this is an actual hadith. So with that being the case, if you abstain from eating, drinking, and fulfilling your desires, you make your blood flow weak. Then the shaitan loses his strength. The shaitan loses his strength. Sheikh Salaf Hazan said, فَفِي سِيَامِ حُسُولِ التَّقْوَى أَلَّتِي هِيَ جِمَاعُ الْخَيْرِ كُلِّهِ So by fasting, an individual obtains taqwa, and this is all-encompassing good. And because of that, you also have to be considered a Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ya ma'ashir al-shabab, man istata'a minkum al-ba'a fa-yatazawwaj." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O youth,